continue. Thank you for staying with us. Our special edition of the Daily Drum, Boss Ladies, Black Women Entrepreneurs Charting Their Own Paths, continues right now. I'm Harold Fisher. A reminder for you, no phone calls tonight, but you can certainly join the conversation online using the hashtag Boss Ladies. My guests are April Williams, and she is the co-owner of the Kennedy Consulting Group. Also with us, continuing with us, Nicole Parker, principal and CEO of the Ellison Group. And now joining us is Joyce Sheffield. We're going to get Joyce on in just a bit. She is owner of On and Off the Runway. Let me start. Hey, Joyce, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Let me first start with something that we were talking about right before the break. Ty mentioned networking. So here's the difficult, but I think truism, and you can tell me what you think. Networking is so important in any business. But when you're talking about Black women, there are stereotypes about their inability to get along. True or false? What do you think about that?
Absolutely false. I know that that's been the narrative, mm-hmm. But we are changing. We are growing in so many facets of just coming together. As we know that this is Women's Month, so we are coming together, and we see now that we're stronger when we can build together and grow together.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Nicole?
You know, I always speak on this. I think there can be sometimes potentially be challenges when we don't get along. And our goal is for us to all get along. But I go by the three C's. We certainly have to collaborate, right? There's enough business out here, but we go farther together when we collaborate. We have to celebrate one another's, right? Celebrate our milestones. And most importantly, communicate, communicating effectively. And if we could just keep those three C's in mind, that's what gets us to the next step.
That's right.
So if that is indeed the case, April, then where do you suppose that stereotype comes from?
Well, I mean, it comes from a lot of places where so many stereotypes come from. You know, if you think about, you know, young Black girls in grade school who are, you know, more falsely treated and punished than their other counterparts. And where does that come from? It's because Black girls are more aggressive and we speak differently and we speak harshly. Whereas, you know, our temperament, you know, many of us can be very matter of fact, or, you know, you can speak, you know, your words in a certain way that can really, you know, have people off guard. But I want to say that, you know, what our demeanor is for our male counterparts is looked at as great leadership, is looked at as, you know, this person is doing well. So where does that come from? That comes from a falsehood, right? So I think it's just very unfortunate that it continues to perpetuate in society, that continues to, you know, really place a false halo around, you know, the Black women in our community. So I honestly don't know where it comes from, but I think it really goes way back to, you know, way before Jim Crow and being separated from lights and darks. And it really goes way back in our history, I believe.
You said something that just now that really struck me, and I want all of you to comment on this, but April, since you brought it up, I'll start with you. You spoke about leadership. Mm-hmm. How does leadership look for Black women in business, entrepreneurs, compared to leadership for men? Is it different at all? April.
Absolutely. It's absolutely different for women. And I think it's unfortunate. And so that's not only in business, but you can see in politics with Judge Ketanji Brown being looked at across the board. And we want to see, you know, her paperwork. Did she graduate? What are her LSATs? That type of thing. You know, someone else, you know, a male counterpart that does not have anywhere near the acumen, they do not get raked over the coals much like we do. And that really does hurt, you know, Black women in business, because when you actually go to sit at the table and you make your voice heard, then, you know, you're looked at as being negative or, you know, she's mean or she's rude, when really you are just speaking just matter of factly.
Mm-hmm. What do you think leadership looks like for you, Joyce, compared to men? What is your leadership posture? What does that look like?
My leadership posture. Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, many of you may know, I'm in the retail segment in business. And my leadership posture is one that is, I believe that someone just mentioned, I move in integrity. Across the board, right? I also have a mentorship program. I have other business owners looking to me to be the example. And I think that's what we're missing sometimes in business. Everyone wants to lead, right? But no one really wants to follow. And I believe that leadership first comes from your servitude. How can you serve one another in business versus just always? And leadership is you know, as a business owner, you have to lead. But I think you have to give the ability to have the ability to serve just as much in any area of leadership.
Right. Nicole, what does your leadership posture look like? How would you describe it?
And all awesome answers. I would say the biggest thing, again, is not sacrificing your integrity, right? While being a leader, you're tried, you know, mm-hmm. through the fire, through the cold. So what right. is it? And for me, you know, going into my next chapter, hitting 50 and, you know,
no, she's
celebrating
not.
15
no.
years in business.
I knew that was coming.
Celebrating.
I knew that was coming. And I'm 75.
But celebrating 15 years in business, for me, the things that I did before in leadership, you know, from learning from mentors, taking the advice from mentors and not stressing in the stretch, right? Because people don't see behind the scenes, there's far more work than the glitz and glam of being, you know, a leader or an entrepreneur. You're always working. You're always thinking. You have to have a focused mindset. And through it all, when you're tried, the biggest thing is not sacrificing your integrity. I think that is huge. Mm-hmm. And while all at the same time, not being afraid to make the waves, right? Because you will be tested and tried. And, you know, I'll go back to what I've continuously said. As African-American women, we have to walk three times as fast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So once again, a really important point has been brought out during this exchange. So let's talk about, Nicole, if you don't mind, the things that people don't see, the highs and the lows. Let's first go low. When you left the other company and started your own business, talk to me about the low point in the next part of your business life.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why this just came to mind, but this is just such an important point that I talk about. But I had a fortune, and my earpiece is falling out, but you can hear me, hopefully.
Yeah, you're fine.
And I had transitioning from government to commercial corporate Fortune 100s, Fortune 500s, and I couldn't gain a seat at the table. And I can remember submitting 9 bids to a local Maryland Fortune 100.
Wow.
4 years ago, 9 bids, and every bid I lost. And so at that low point, I said, God, I know that I am not a loser. But I need them to tell me what I've done. How do I handle this? And I wrote a letter to the corporate office, to the board of directors. I researched who everyone was. Mm-hmm. And in that letter, I said, my name is Nicole Parker. I'm the CEO of the Ellison Group. I am in construction and project management. And by the way, I just lost the last 9 bids that I submitted. Could you tell me what I'm doing wrong?
Right.
What am I doing wrong? Because I don't have that answer. It sent a ripple effect And it gained the attention of this Fortune 100 company. And then the work started coming. And I don't expect anyone to hand me anything. I work for it. But sometimes you have to just not be afraid to make the waves, but keeping that same posture, even when you know people aren't doing you right.
Did you get an answer?
I got an answer, and I got multiple contracts after that.
Come on now.
Okay, so I guess that was the high point too.
Yes,
right?
That was the high point. Yeah, but something like that in a low point, I would say the biggest part of gratification in the low point is showing others not to quit in the low point, because so many of us do.
That's right?
So many of us do. Because we think it, you know, we can't make it or we're not good enough, right?
Right.
And for women, oftentimes we think we're not good enough. We are the heaviest judgers of ourselves.
Okay. April, low point, high point.
Well, let me just piggyback on what Nicole said in that regard. I believe that you can have a low point and a high point all in the same day. And I had that just recently, where it was an opportunity that actually I did speak to Nicole about. And I submitted a proposal for a very large amount to a company that is a multi-million dollar company. And I submitted what I knew I was worth. And I did not hear back for weeks and weeks. And this is after we had had great communication. I emailed them, they emailed me within the hour. And then it just kind of went radio silence. And I started to second guess myself and said, did I pitch too high? And Nicole said, don't sell yourself short. And I said, all right. So I sat in there with it for like maybe one more week. Then I emailed the person who is very high up in the company. And I told them that I was going to be moving forward, that I want to work with people who are just as interested in working with me and my company. I know we do great work. There's no question about that. I got a call. I got two calls and a follow-up email. And we are about to sign the contract within the next couple of weeks or so. So it was pleasantly persistent, which is the term that I like to use. You don't have to be nasty. And like the two other ladies who said it before, you can still have integrity. I will also say I do spend a lot of time out walking my dog, clearing my head and getting in the right space to come back. And so that you're not emailing, you know, upset or disappointed, because you're going to have all those feelings throughout one day.
Okay. Joyce, you mentioned that you work in the retail space, and all of your fellow guests had an opportunity to talk about specifically what they do. So tell me, what do you do? What is On and Off Runway?
On and Off the Runway is a retail space. It is a boutique for women of all ages, but it's to the everyday woman. And one of the things that I started the boutique because I wanted to share, you know, to other women that you can still, and I am faith-based, so you can still be faith-based, but you can still rock your clothes. So one of the mottos that we use is don't just wear it, rock it. And some of us and women, myself being the example, I grew up without a father, so I grew up with low self-esteem, and I didn't have a lot of confidence, and I was always looking for someone to approve what I feel like God has already approved in me. But so On and Off the Runway is just that. It's for women to see that we can do and be all that God has intended for us to be. Mm. It is also now spinned off into Behind the Runway, which is a community for women with like-minded entrepreneurs who are starting off in the retail space. When I started, I had no help. You know, I would ask questions and dead silence. I wanted to offer and share to the upcoming entrepreneur, the upcoming boutique owner, on an online boutique owner, that they can too have a resource in a community that we're building together to encourage each other, to build each other up, to provide support to one another. And so that's what I do.
Now, you still have a full-time job, correct?
I do technically still have a full-time job. Yes.
How does that work while running your boutique, do you believe that women can have it all?
Oh, absolutely. I do. I do technically still, and I don't know if all of my followers know that I still have a boutique. I mean, a boutique and a full-time job. I am technically working as a payroll manager. One of the things that I've learned in over the years, I choose to stay on my 9-to-5 because it gives me a sense of accountability. Right. It keeps me humble and this is just for me, because I know that we live in a world of social media that says, girl, get off your 9-to-5 and let's do entrepreneurship full time. We have been able to our last revenue was over $1 million over the last 2 years. And it was nobody but God. I mean, and of course, I could quit my 9-to-5, but I choose to keep it because I'm able to do it now from home. We figured out around the world now that you can actually work from home and still be productive and still, you know what I mean? Mm. So I'm loving the fact that I'm still able to do all of the different things that I love to do. I heard someone say that they're a professional singer. I'm a singer as well. I'm a praise and worship leader. Mm. I'm a wife. I'm an aunt and I'm a daughter. Yes, we absolutely can have it all. It just, you have to continue to remind yourself that I can do this every day through the fear. I tell myself, just walk through it. Okay. Fear is inevitable. But you just have to walk through the fear.
Right. Nicole and April, but I'll start with Nicole. Nicole, with more women entering the entrepreneurial space, whatever job they are creating for themselves, do you believe that that means that the playing field has become more level? Or do you think that one has nothing to do with the other?
I do believe that the playing field is becoming more level, especially since COVID and all that has happened. Mm-hmm. And so many more women have began to, you know, create their entrepreneurship journey. So in this day and time, I would say, yes, I believe that. But we all, in starting that journey, I think that we all have different boxes to check. For example, myself, when I left, my son was just going to college when I left my job, but I transitioned from that job. As I stated earlier, I, you know, gave my job in one hand, my termination letter, and in another hand, I gave them, you know, an offer to be a consultant that they couldn't pass up because I was carrying 70% of the revenue and I brought the relationships there. Mm-hmm. And so whatever box you have to check, you have to do what works for you. I think that is so important. And I stayed at that job for the first 4 years of my entrepreneurship beginning journey as a consultant. And then they became my subcontractor. So that goes back to the integrity.
I didn't know that.
And not, you know, being bothered by how someone treats you, because you never know when they may need you or you may need them. And so I say continue taking action and hold your head up high.
Is a playing field more level now with more women entering the entrepreneurial space?
Absolutely. Because what I am experiencing is that I can reach out to one of the mentors in my space or one of my, you know, Black female entrepreneur counterparts at another company and say, hey, here's what I'm looking for, or here's what I'm needing to do. And they literally take the time to speak with me or to connect me with someone. Tawanda Livingston comes to mind. She's a great champion for small business, especially Black women owned firms. Absolutely. I'm starting to see more of my Black, you know, friends, whether it be a 9-to-5 or entrepreneurship, just making gains. And I believe that, you know, looking back on what Nicole was saying, the term that I would like to utilize is the word pivot, right? Mm-hmm. You always have to be able to pivot. If you can pivot faster than the next firm, then you might be a subcontractor or you might be a prime contractor on a potential opportunity. It just depends on your ability to be able to take what the market has dished out and be able to pull those pieces together and pivot. But yeah, I would say overall, I am seeing this playing field being more leveled. And I believe because we are just not going to continue to accept the way that it's been before. It's been just not great, right? Working twice, three times, four times is hard, staying late while everyone else, you know, leaves and still not getting those promotions. So yes, I'm seeing some progress.
I only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to give each of you a chance to just share some expanded final thoughts. And I'll start with you, Joyce. Where does your responsibility lie moving forward with this entrepreneurial venture?
My desire and focus is to give back. If I had the opportunity when I was growing up or deciding to go full-time as an entrepreneur or even think about entrepreneurship, I wish that there were more people that would, or mentors, or to just give back. Mm-hmm. To our community specifically, and to also give opportunity to our community, you know, to be a voice in our community, to say, girl, you can get up from there. Mm-hmm. I know that this has happened, and I know that you've gone through this, and I know that you may haven't gotten a seat at that table, but just as the other ladies have said, we have to learn to build our own tables so that we can sit those who's waiting. And for us to be the example, okay, to continue looking on.
Okay. Nicole?
Wow, I just want to echo what she says. You know, that give back is so huge for me. When I started the entrepreneurial journey 15 years ago, a lot of people asked me, you know, why don't you have partners? Why didn't you have partners? And, you know, there wasn't anyone at the time that had the same mindset or the same, you know, focus to develop an entrepreneurial platform. So, you know, while it was me for so long, my desire now and focus is just in giving back to the community, but giving back while educating them that they can do the same thing because we're no different than them.
That's right.
And there's no rule book or Bible or process or procedures to entrepreneurship, no matter what sector you're in, right? It's all about that communication, collaboration thing. And I think that's huge.
April, I'll let you have the last word.
Yes, I definitely agree with the other two speakers in regards to that. I would also say in regards to giving back to our current community, also honoring those who have come before us. My grandfather was a sharecropper in the Deep South, and my father, he had no formal education. He could not read or write. My father also worked in those same fields. He had a third grade education. He ended up starting a painting contracting firm. Myself, I have a master's degree, I own a company, I own a home. So each generation has gotten better and better. So absolutely, we must also honor those who have come before us by pouring into the current generation.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, ladies. Well said, all of you. And I really appreciate your time. And I want to thank you for sharing your stories and perspectives for tonight's conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
And finally tonight, as we all know, there was a time when Black women business owners did not have the recognition men did. But things have changed, and the larger business community has had to recognize they are not just contributors, but breaking through the walls and carving their own successful paths. They are here to stay, writing a new history for those coming behind them to learn from. I'm Harold Fisher. Thank you for watching and listening. Good night.